Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm a little disappointed that the Pilgrims didn't make a bigger push on lobster. Like, that's really disappointing. Like, I mean, we could have been eating lobster rather than turkey all this time. Like, that's... I got to tell you something. The day's off to a rough start here. I'm just telling you right now. Like, that's not great news, considering what this could have been. This holiday is already blissful. I mean.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he won't.
It does feel like, for a while, Gabe, the Packers have played on Thanksgiving, haven't they? Haven't they been a... I'm maybe playing the Lions a lot. I can remember being at Ford Field for some Packers...
I feel like it's been a while.
...Lions games.
The last time they played on Thanksgiving might have been that disaster against the Bears when they retired Brett's number.
That was Thanksgiving.
That was
That's
a Thanksgiving
right.
night yeah. in, what was that, 2015?
Mm-hmm. It was a crappy night.
Yeah, it was rainy, crappy. That might be the last time they played on Thanksgiving. And that was 7 years ago at this point. It seemed like they were playing the Lions just about, I don't know, every other year, every third year.
I have vivid memories of having Thanksgiving dinner at Ford Field. Yay!
Do you think there's more negotiating in the scheduling than we know? Like with the whole London thing, you think the league has to ask a team, hey, do you want to play on Thanksgiving? If you do, we'll give you a break here and move this around here and put your bye here.
Maybe. You know, Matt LaFleur, I believe Jason Wilde wrote an article on this recently about maybe they were starting to second guess their decision to not take the bye after the London game. Maybe they should have kind of, and again, you can never know how a season is going to go, but in hindsight, there was some talk of maybe we needed that break. Maybe we needed to kind of reacclimate back to all of the things, you know, whether it's just the time zones, and they underestimated how much that travel was going to affect the team. What are you going to do? Hindsight is always 20/20. So Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was talking about Thanksgiving and basically how he and some of his guys, David Bakhtiari and his wife and Randall Cobb and his wife, have done the Thanksgiving thing in the past, but that Mason Crosby and some of the specialists kind of hijacked it this year, and they're going to be hosting the Thanksgiving for the team in Green Bay. And then Rodgers went on to talk about how, of course, he's judging. Of course he's judging when he walks into somebody else's home for Thanksgiving. Take a listen.
I assume this is going to be a solid Thanksgiving gathering for the Green Bay Packers. Good spread. We're expecting a good spread from the Crosbys.
It better be. Because I'm going to be in there judging the hell out of all of it.
Yeah.
The decorations, the food presentation, the food options, the dessert options. I'm going to try really hard to get into my ayahuasca mindset and not judge, you know, every little thing. But how can you not? I mean, the first and most important thing and most fun thing to judge is the turkey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's literally, as anybody knows who's cooking turkey, it is the most nerve-wracking thing of all time to get that thing right. Because in general, how many people actually go to Thanksgiving to eat the turkey? Not many, I would say.
But do we actually think he's doing the legwork when he had Thanksgiving at his house?
Boston Market's still a thing, right?
No, he was hiring his Cato Kalen and saying, hey, no, I don't like that decoration. Put this one up. Because we used to go to Brett's over back in the day, and Brett's thing was like, he would force you to eat food that you know? Like, turducken? First time I had turducken was over Brett, and he's the one that's putting it on my plate. I'm like, I don't really love it. You know? Or pizza. He'd always have to have ranch with his pizza. And he'd be like, try this. I'm like, I don't like it. Well, just try it. Try this stuff. I'd be like, just leave me alone. But I guarantee
Aaron. So Brett's the pushy food eater? He's like, oh, you got to try this.
Pushy. Suck the head. Suck the head. You know? I don't want to suck the head. I'll just eat the tail. You know?
Oh.
Now we know.
I'm talking about crawfish.
Are you?
I sure hope you are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Have you ever sucked a head?
Oh my God.
A crawfish.
Hold on, let me put that on the pole. Hang on.
It's disgusting. You eat poop if you suck the head.
No. Just leave it alone.
Ash just left. He's out.
Ash literally left the production office. I bring this up, though, because if you know that the turkey is the most nerve-wracking thing of all time to get right, which is what Roger said, why are you going to make it even worse by judging? Recognize that it was a nerve-wracking process, that a lot went into it, that it was probably intimidating to take on the turkey, and then just be like, it's great. Did a great job. I love it, and you did fantastic. Like, can you just do that? Can you be that person?
Lie? What if it's bad? What if it's dry? You're just going to lie?
That's a great question. Do you tell people if their food is bad?
You should.
No.
How are they going to improve?
How do they get better?
Not if they're hosting. Get the hell out of here. You can say it in a nice way. There's no chance you go to someone's house. They open the doors. They're the hospitality. And then you're going, hey, this kind of sucks.
Yes, you can say it in a funny way.
Or you just say it's fine, but it's got to really be bad then, right?
I mean, the only way I'm saying something is if I'm going to get food poisoning from it, okay? Like when Dario made me like a clam spaghetti and he made the clam.
Forgot to cook the clams.
He cooked the clams in with the noodles.
Oh, my Lord.
Like that's the only time that I'd be like, hey, I'm not going to eat this. But otherwise,
what?
You can toss your plate in the trash without anyone knowing. You do not say if somebody makes something that is bad. Absolutely not. Especially if they are the host. Especially if they, you know, they have been cleaning the baseboards and cleaning the drawers of the refrigerator just in case somebody looks in there.
But what if, I mean, again, how do you get better? Someone's got to tell you your food is bad.
Listen,
if you make bad food, the only way to improve is to know it's bad.
All right, walk me through it. Tell me how this, just give me, we're going to dramatize this, okay? Give me a reenactment of you just ate some of my noodles. I'm making the noodles for our Thanksgiving dinner this year. You just ate some of my egg noodles and you did not enjoy them. And action.
Not for me.
What?
Just say it's not for me.
I mean, yeah, I think you got to be able to sit down and have these honest conversations. Be like, hey, you know,
look at me. I just handed you my plate. And I said, hey, how are the noodles? Remember, this is the recipe that my dad had. You know, my dad gave me this recipe.
Oh, Gabe, if you can't do this, I can do this. Okay.
I think you handled it.
I was about to say, I'm going to look right at you. Here's the garbage can.
You handle it like I used to.
How I used to coach junior football, right? So you'd have the kids for 2 weeks and the parents would come up and you'd just say to the parent, you go, has your kid ever considered band? Does he play an instrument? I mean, that's a nice way of saying it, right?
All right.
There's got to be a way.
All right. Transition it to food for me.
Jen, have you ever considered mashed potatoes?
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea. That actually feels a little bit better.
Here's the thing. As a small business restaurant owner, I want people to tell me if the food is bad.
It's the same exact thing. It's still the same thing. That's your livelihood. That's your business. You need to know if you've got a
product.
More
people should treat their home kitchens like the livelihood.
No, ridiculous. That's absurd. And this is Thanksgiving. This is like a potluck. People are bringing food. There's no chance in hell if you are a decent human being, you are telling someone that what they brought didn't measure up. It didn't meet your standards.
I agree.
No, disagree.
Especially if
but
it's
if it's
a woman.
Year after year after year, how are they going to get, how is that going to get better?
Right, after year five of the turkey just being dry that you can't breathe, you got to, as you're choking, be like, can we please do this better? Like, you got to do that at some point.
You're not doing that either, Mr. Non-Confrontation.
I can do it. This is the whole thing.
What if Ashton said, hey, next year I'll bring the turkey?
That's 100% what I would do. I would say, you know what? I would love to do this next year and take it off your plate.
But
boom.
Again, you're not being direct, which again is fine, but that's what I'm saying. My whole point is you are never going to directly tell someone that their food is bad. Maybe they can read between the lines. Maybe they can interpret and read the tea leaves when you say, you know what? Why don't I take this on next year? You have done it for the last 5 years and we have appreciated it so much, but you deserve a break.
So, Jen, what would happen to your household if you and Dario were going out for a nice dinner and you got dressed up, loved your outfit, and you go to Dario, how's my outfit? And he said, it sucks.
Well, here's the thing, though. Dario and I have an agreement because I try on clothes for college game day all the time, and he will say to me, babe, you got to show off your body a little bit more. He'll say, babe, that outfit is not doing anything for you. He will. And again, because I'm going on national television, I trust his opinion as a man to tell me if something looks good or not on TV. So the outfit thing is a weird space because I actually appreciate him weighing in on what
with
I'm wearing.
With the honest feedback.
Right. Sometimes he'll be like, that's a lot. Like what you have going on over there, it's a lot. And I know what that means. It means take it off.
Too much boob?
I mean, I tell Angie, she'll come out with something a little booby. I'll be like, cover it up. No. You got a scarf?
Yeah.
Something a little
booby. But wait,
booby.
Do you say... Do you have a scarf? Because again, that is the Ashton thing, which is, how about I cook the turkey next year? Right? You're not exactly saying it, but you're saying it.
I kind of like it.
I'm telling you, I don't know anybody who's walking into somebody's house and being like, wow, your Brussels sprouts.
I'm going to try it this year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
That's ridiculous. This is like you yesterday saying that you were going to go skydiving, okay?
I will go skydiving. Yeah, right. Somebody set it up. I will do it.
No.
Why does no one believe that I can do things?
No, we believe you can do things.
No,
we just believe you
won't
do things.
No, we don't believe you can do
things. Why not, Gabe?
Because you have set a standard for yourself where you're just kind of scared of your own shadow.
Being a wuss.
And?
You got to jump out of a plane from 4 miles up. I don't think
you're afraid
happening.
To take me on in soccer. So who's afraid of whomst?
I'll take you on. I said we have a perfect area for it right upstairs with a Nerf ball.
That's not regulation size.
In regulation side, we got some spray paint and paint the size of the goal on the wall. What's the difference?
Kelly came in here and yelled at us and accused us of taking a dump and clogging the toilet down here. You think she's going to be okay with us just spray painting a goal on one of the brand new walls upstairs?
I don't know. I lifted the seat up and took a picture because someone just absolutely dominated the porcelain. And I'm like, someone's not following your rules, and it wasn't me. I did. I sent it to Craig, and I got no response.
I think you're creating a hostile work environment.
you took a picture.
We got blamed. Jen was gone.
That's
me
true.
And you.
We did get blamed.
Yes.
But you took a picture.
I did. I think I still have it.
I'm good. I don't need to see it. I believe that you took the picture.
I did.
That's so on brand.
Can we put it on the poll? 800-990-3776. Can we put it on the poll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's Twitter account as well and ask people if you are telling someone if what they brought to Thanksgiving or if they're hosting Thanksgiving, are you telling them that it is not up to standard? It is not up to snuff. It is not up to par. I want to know how many people out there are actually walking into someone else's house and saying, you could have done better. I've had better. Well, that's from Liar Liar, remember? Was it good for you?
What are you? You're the one who's telling people they're ugly out there, and that's the reason you're breaking up with people.
That does have a point.
He said, I've had better. Are you, I've had bettering people's food at Thanksgiving? Let us know, 800-990-3776.
From revenue cycle optimization to working capital management, Fifth Third Bank of Milwaukee knows your business requires custom solutions to meet the moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank of Milwaukee connects you with a network of seasoned healthcare, government, and nonprofit-focused professionals who understand your organizational goals and are here to help you succeed with your business. Fifth Third Bank Milwaukee can provide you with that personalized touch to help you get to that next level. Fifth Third Bank, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Gabe and Chewy.
Hoth. Is that a place?
What?
Yeah.
That's a place,
that's
right?
That's a place.
Do I get some points there?
How do you spell?
H-O-F. H-O-F.
What just happened?
What are you talking about?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Lots of reaction rolling in on our old National Bank talk and text line. Q from Heartland saying, if they ask me how their food is, I'm telling them the truth. Don't ask questions you can't handle the answers to. Andy in Illinois saying, do we need to do away with turkey? Why do the majority of us suffer every year eating a weighted cotton ball? To which Chewy says, try the lobster. Lobster was actually featured at the first Thanksgiving. They said that you could just walk out to the water and they were so plentiful, you just grabbed them out of the surf. They ate lobster at the first Thanksgiving, to which Adam Schefter told us earlier, wow, we really missed the ball on that one, didn't we? We really dropped the ball on that one. Matt in Fort Atkinson also weighing in saying, I am not telling someone about their bad food, but I am definitely taking a picture of someone destroying the porcelain and sending it to my boss. Go Chewy.
He went above his boss. He went with the founder and CEO of the company.
But they're buddies.
Be like if you decided to do that, like you were in Bristol. Okay, hey, Bob Iger, here's a picture of the porcelain.
Hey, and welcome back, by the way, Bob Iger.
By the way, Bob, welcome back, but also...
Here's a shot of the bowl.
We need to fix this issue.
Let's take out the trash.
We've all got stuff that we can't keep inside anymore.
Trash! Trash! Not for you!
Stuff that we need to talk about.
How could you not realize? You're stupid. You are a stupid, stupid man.
Stuff that once a week just needs to be put outside.
Now that's clearly garbage.
Hey, man, we just get warmed up.
It's time to take out the trash. Brought to you by LRS, Milwaukee and Southern Wisconsin's leader in home business and dumpster waste and recycling services. Call the LRS experts at 844-WI-TRASH today.
Okay, I will start. I'm going to start by saying I hate icons. Closed
like
captioning?
Mick,
no, like an icon on your
Jackson
car. And I'll get there eventually. But like closed captioning drives me crazy.
Are you
right?
Insane?
You watch closed captioning?
I watch everything with closed captioning.
It drives me. But like when you want to
so
see
does my
the,
wife. And it, yeah, I'm with Chewy. It
like when
me nuts.
You want to see the score or the time in a game and it's blocking, it just drives me crazy. My wife loves it too. So icons in my car drive me nuts as well. Right? Check engine light just pops up out of nowhere. So I get, this time of year, the symbol for low pressure in the tires.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Common problem for a lot of people.
Weather changing.
Yep.
I hit the printout, and it's like, okay, 38, 38, 27, 38. I didn't realize there were five. So I get out, and I got my tire gauge, and it's cold out, and I'm checking all the pressure in the tires. They're all 38. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? This icon is driving me insane. Who the hell puts a sensor on a spare tire? Spare tire.
Well, I understand having the sensor in the tire, because if you have to put it on, then you want to know. But like the sensor being hooked up to the system while not being on one of the four.
Yes, correct. So I had to take the spare tire off because you couldn't inflate it because the nozzle was blocked. With all that's hooked up
sounds
underneath
like
and had to do it and raise it up. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? You know what? Save the nozzle on the car and give me a free tank of gas or something when I buy the car.
So let me get this straight. Your dummy light went off on your dashboard.
Yep.
Telling you that one of your tires, PSI, was low, right? The pressure
correct
in the tire. And it turned out to be the spare
yeah
that was in like, is your spare like underneath the truck?
Yeah.
Like,
so I had to crawl under there. Get the spare
that's,
off.
That's insane.
It. Isn't
yeah
that crazy?
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
So I inflated it to 70.
Just in
so
case,
I should be good for about 3 years.
Just in case it has a slow leak.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk. Now, I guess they're trying to be preventative, right? So that if you were to get a flat on one
sure
of your other four functioning tires and you went to use the spare, it wouldn't be usable because it didn't have the proper air pressure in there. I guess that's what it's trying to alleviate.
But most cars now have that roadside assistance where they're coming to change the spare in a place from a garage, and he's got a compressor on his truck. I mean, what are we doing
yeah
here? Driving me nuts. What do you got, Gabe?
I don't understand what the Milwaukee Brewers did last night. Can somebody explain it to me like I'm five? So this offense stinks all year long. It stinks. Bad offense. And you trade away the only consistent offensive performer you had all year. If you missed it, Hunter Renfroe, who had a great year last year for the Brewers. Yeah, well, he was dinged up at different points, but when he was in the lineup, he was a consistent performer for the Milwaukee Brewers last year. And they trade him to the Angels for three pitching prospects. Now, granted, these guys are close and are likely going to be on the Major League roster and be Major League contributors at some point, either in 2023 or 2024. But this just reeks to me of there better be more moves coming. And if they're not, I don't understand this move whatsoever. It's the same thing as when they traded away Josh Hader, and okay, more moves are coming, and then nothing came. So you better be making more moves here, Matt Arnold, because the first one you made has me scratching my head that you're going to rely on rookies to come in. Tyrone Taylor being an everyday outfielder. Like, Tyrone seems like a decent enough fourth outfield option. He can play all three positions, have a little decent, a little bit of pop coming off the bench. But he had plenty of opportunities last year. His OPS plus was just barely over 100, which, by the way, 100 in that metric is average across baseball. You need more offense. That's been painfully obvious the last two seasons. Trading away somebody because it saves you $11 million, there better be something you do productive with that roster spot and with that $11 million. Because right now, it is not making sense, Brewers. I don't know why you trade away your best offensive player when that's the one thing you desperately need.
It is the travel season at the airports. I told you guys I was at O'Hare yesterday, and I was in Columbus, so I guess I was at the Columbus airport as well. There's a lot of things we have talked about on this show that you should not do when you are traveling. You should not take your shoes off on the airplane. You should not put your feet up on the bulkhead. You should not try to jam your full-size suitcase into the overhead. It will not fit. You should not watch your videos on full blast volume. You should wear headphones. You should not walk three wide down the concourse of the airport, right? People are, it's a hustle bustle. People are moving fast, trying to make connections, etc. When you go three wide, you just jam up the traffic. And you should also not do what someone did at JFK this week, which was to stuff a cat in their carry-on. A cat! Right. A live, breathing cat!
How'd they get the cat in there?
Yeah, that's a good
put some
good
treats
question.
In there, maybe.
Did you read the story?
I did read the story. So TSA at JFK saw the cat because they saw the cats on the X-ray machine. They saw the skeleton on the X-ray machine, and they were like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa!" Pulled it out. The buddy said that it was not his cat; it was someone that he lived with's cat. They said it's a good thing they found the cat because it would not have survived in the pressurized luggage area of the plane. The cat would have died in the bag. Now, maybe it was a carry-on, and they were trying to put it on the by the seats. What's that called? Where you sit?
On the carry-on? Plane.
No, where you sit. What do they call that?
The seats?
It's called something.
Under the seats?
No, exit row.
The actual plane where people sit is called something.
The cockpit.
You're not sitting in the
spatchcock?
Cockpit.
I'm so lost. What are you talking about? Too.
We've said literally every word.
No, you haven't said
overhead.
You haven't said the right word. I'll figure it out. That doesn't matter. That's besides the point. The point is, of all the things that I've told you not to do at the airport, please do not bring your live cat or your girlfriend's live cat or the person you live with live cat on the plane. Shove it in your carry-on. Try to get it through security.
So this person maintained that it was there accidentally?
Was it Aunt
they
Edna?
Say...
She wrapped up her jam cat.
It was.
Is Rusty still in the Navy?
Joy to the world. They said that the cat accidentally climbed in, right, Ashley? Is that what you saw? That they're contending.
Accidentally climbed in.
That the cat climbed in the bag. They didn't know it was there.
Cats are curious. You've ever heard
no
about
idea.
You gotta let the cat out of the bag then.
Yeah, so now right. He's got it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Chu. Because there is one silver lining of this entire story, which is mostly terrible. TSA did tweet this out. We're letting the cat out of the bag on a historic find. This catch had our baggage screening officers at JFK saying, "Come on, meow."
Trying too hard.
I like that. That was
kind of funny, though.
Come on, meow. Oh, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff happening at the airport. I just didn't expect that to be one of the things.
I have never had to travel on this holiday. And I feel very thankful for that.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of insane people out there every day at the airport. I can't imagine the level of insanity around Thanksgiving.
Well,
at,
it's just like anything else. The people who travel regularly know kind of the unsaid, the
cabin.
Unwritten rules. Cabin, thank you. Boom, boom. Cabin is the word.
There's a million people on the Old National Plane talking text line.
That cabin, that's
that.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you
thing.
To all of you guys.
Where you cabin. Sit.
Yes. Yeah,
seat is the answer.
As opposed to underneath where the bags go. Thank you guys. Appreciate you. we all kind of get it. We call all kind of know. You know, you file out one seat, one row at a time, and you don't run from the back of the plane to the front of the plane to try to beat everybody. You don't stand up before the ding goes off. Like, you just know the things. There's a lot of people who are traveling this weekend that don't travel regularly, and they don't know the things. And so there will be a lot of chaos and a lot of, you know, as you mentioned, just insanity happening at the airport today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And lucky me, I get to go back to Columbus. I will be back in Columbus on Friday and Saturday for College Game Day from the game, guys.
Yeah, but you also get to go to the game.
Well, how long is a drive? Nine?
Columbus? Eight? Probably 8 or 9.
Feels long. Like, yeah. I've driven to Notre Dame. That's 3.5.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would go much further than that regularly. You know, extenuating circumstances, yeah, maybe I'd hop in a car 6 hours. I could do 6 by myself. I wouldn't do much more than that. We should talk about the college football playoff rankings, though, Chu. They came out yesterday. Yeah, the new rankings came out yesterday. And as I was in Columbus, you know, there is talk. There's a lot of talk that two Big Ten teams could still make the college football playoff, regardless of what happens in the game this Saturday in Columbus. We'll dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank, because their loan process is designed to be easy, low stress, and digitally friendly. With GMB, you can apply for a loan in minutes and submit the bulk of your financial paperwork through their secure online portal. But if you prefer the pen and paper approach, that's okay too, because Great Midwest Bank's amazing customer service is never going away. Their loan officers are friendly and knowledgeable, which obviously is kind of like baseline standard, right? But they're always happy to help answer questions no matter which way you choose to submit your loan application. Full digital capabilities, just like all the big guys out there, but the personal touch also that you only get from a community bank. So if you're interested in checking out the loan process, you should check out my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. Their website is greatmidwestbank.com. That's how you can get started on your digital banking experience. Great Midwest Bank is your and my simply local equal housing lender.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
The Packers offense is not dicing anyone up, whether it's the Saints or it's their own Packers defense.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Special day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we get a chance to talk to our friend and teammate Jason Wilde on a Wednesday. It's a Wilde Wednesday. Could you hear that as I was scooching down in my chair? Could you hear the sound that was like...
We know who made the mess on the toilet.
Good morning, Jason. Aren't you glad you joined Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning?
No.
See, honesty. I know where Jason Wilde stands when it comes to, are you telling someone that the food they brought to the Thanksgiving dinner is good or not? Jason, these guys are saying that they are going to tell someone if what they bring for the pass a dish type of thing, the potluck, is bad. Are you telling someone if what they brought is bad?
Well, how are they going to tell them?
I mean, Jason,
like, are they going to do it in a kind way?
Gabe said he's going to look me dead in the eye and he's going to drop the plate of noodles in the trash. And we all called bull honky on that.
Dude, if you do that, please get it on video.
But also, we're going to want to remember what you look like.
Hey, if you don't know that something's bad, Jason, how are you going to get better?
Although I suppose that murder is frowned upon more than telling someone that their food is
Jason,
bad.
Jason, I said when it comes to the turkey, volunteer to bring the turkey next year for them. And hopefully they get the message.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you did subtlety.
It's in there somewhere. It just doesn't come out a lot.
It's subtle. I can't get the image of Gabe... dropping a plate of unsatisfactory potluck food into the trash right in front of the person that brought it. That would be a power move.
Boom, roasted.
Got to establish dominance at these things, Jason.
Jason, do they still do the rookies go by the turkey at Century, or have they replaced it with a better joke/tradition?
No and no. I don't think they do anything like that anymore. And there's nothing that they do to replace it. I know that there was... and in the age of social media, I guess I'm not surprised that this is not something you can pull off anymore. Because in my time covering the team while you guys were doing that, the only rookie that avoided being embarrassed by that was Matt Hasselbeck, because his father, Don, played in the NFL, and they did that same trick way back when his dad was playing for the Patriots. Wow. So otherwise, everyone else fell for it.
I don't know what the trick is. What's the trick?
It was...
Really?
I fell for it, but it was... the rookies had to buy, go to Century. Century claimed that they were giving free turkeys to the players, so the players would... If you were drafted, say, an O lineman, you'd pick up like 13 turkeys. And then you go to Century, the rookie would, it'd be on camera, hidden camera, and they'd say, that's $280. And you'd be like, what? They said they were free. I mean, it was kind of a lame. Wasn't it lame, Jason? Kind
no,
of.
It was not it was lame. There were some really funny.
Was there really? Okay.
Iterations of it. Yeah, because with the hidden camera, you saw the. I mean, in some players' cases, it was just fear, right? Like, especially someone like, quite frankly, Tausch, right? Mm-hmm. Because he was a rookie, seventh-round pick. Now, he and Clifton, I'll have to ask him when he gets back from his being on assignment, because I don't know if the two of them went together or how it worked, but there were always really funny, and they would show it like they would do it on the coach's show because there wasn't really Packers.com per se or social media to do it on, but they would do it. That Century is now an Ace Hardware, and I don't think they continued it beyond when that store changed. So I would love to see them bring it back in some way. Didn't you just pay for them? You know, and like speaking of power moves, didn't you just pay?
Yeah, but I had to get all the old, because we didn't, if you can believe it or not, we didn't draft an O lineman in my class. So all the O linemen said, all right, you got to pick up ours as well as the tight end. So I had to get like 16 turkeys. But I'm a Gunga head, and I'm like, oh, okay, I thought they were free. Here's my credit card.
What did you do with the turkeys?
They spoofed it. They're like, we're just joking.
Oh, they told you. Okay, I thought you actually showed up with the turkeys, and then no. It was like...
Dude, and then jokes on those guys.
We don't want them. What are we going to do with the turkeys?
And then Jen cooked them, and they were dry.
And Gabe told her they were dry.
Yeah, exactly.
Honesty is always the best policy, Jason. Speaking of which, so Dominic Foxworth yesterday on Get Up, he thinks that the Packers are still going to have the best roster in the NFC North moving forward. He still thinks the Packers, they're just having a rough season, and that they're going to be able to recover for 2023. Do you think that's a possibility, even though you look around the rest of the NFC North and the Vikings are doing what they're doing, the Bears look like they're on the uptick, the Lions have won three in a row?
Yeah, I think people should be really excited about what Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs could be. The problem with what has happened this year is that because they were derelict in their duty of stocking the wide receiver position before this year's draft and then traded away the best wide receiver in football, they put these guys in a position. Rodgers was talking yesterday about the anxiety, while he was talking with McAfee, the anxiety that Christian Watson was feeling and how he needed to do something to alleviate that. Did you hear that? First of all, I was a little surprised that Rodgers shared that, but it was incredible insight into kind of what it's like to be thrust into a position that you're not ready for, right? I mean, I was going back and looking, because Rodgers also talked about the 2016 run the table, and obviously Cobb missed a bunch of games during that stretch with I think he had a knee injury or a high ankle sprain. But, you know, Devontae Adams continued to emerge that season. Well, guess what? He was a third-year guy by then, right? And Devontae had a couple of good games as a rookie in 14, but they had Cobb catching 91 balls, and they had Jordy Nelson catching 98 balls. I still think that while Rodgers' thumb and the occasional inaccuracy in a very inopportune moment has been one of the biggest problems with this offense, I still think the fact that they just didn't prepare themselves to have wide receivers who knew what the heck they were doing so these rookies could be brought along slowly has been their undoing offensively. I firmly believe that because you look on at history, and we always talked about how wide receivers as rookies were not all that productive in this offense, whether it was with McCarthy or now. And the fact of the matter is that they didn't have to be that productive because they had established guys. And so you look ahead to next year, you know, Dobbs comes back here in the next couple weeks, finishes strong. You can be excited about him. They still need to augment their roster, but I don't think Dominique Foxworth is as crazy as maybe it sounded to probably the panel on Get Up.
Jason, is there anyone on this team that's performing better than expected? We kind of batted this around the other day, and the only name we could really come up with was Rudy Ford and maybe Zach Tom. Is there anyone else we should add to that list who is performing better than expected, who is exceeding expectations this season for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I would say John Runyon, right? I mean, there's a guy who I think his game has taken a step forward in year three, and he had to move to a different position, which I think was a challenge for him. It is certainly a longer list of guys who have not performed up to expectations or have exceeded them and instead have been below expectations. I mean, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I thought A.J. Dillon was going to make a huge jump this year.
I did too.
And I have been kind of underwhelmed, as I often am, by most Boston College guys, except for Matt Hasselbeck. So I think that's also part of I think the fact that you guys are having that conversation also points to some of the other problems with this team. You need, if you're going to elevate your team, you need individual players to elevate their games. And, you know, I know he's on injured reserve now, but I thought Eric Stokes had regressed this season as well. And so you put that all together, and that's how you end up at 4-7 after 11 games.
Jason, are there coaches, and I'm not talking Joe Barry because he's the easy one. Are there coaches that are under the microscope these last couple weeks because they may be on the chopping block as well? You don't. I don't want you to name names, but I mean,
I'll name names.
Is there like a possibility that Stinovich goes back to being the full time offensive line coach? I don't know. It just seems like there might be a shuffle coming.
Yeah, I don't think Adam Stinovich is the one. I will say this, and I don't have any idea what's going to happen in Denver. I have a few friends who cover that team, and they don't really know either. But if Nathaniel Hackett were to go Ray Rhodes one and done with new ownership that might want a different head coach, right? I mean, that ownership change happened after that hiring, and I blame Russell Wilson more than I blame Nathaniel Hackett. But if for some reason he were to become available, you don't think that Matt LaFleur would quickly hire him as his associate head coach or something and still leave Stinovich as offensive coordinator? He would jump at that if it was possible. You know, I think the one guy that I find myself curious about how he is viewed by LaFleur, because I feel like Rodgers has indirectly taken shots at him, is Jason Vrabel, the wide receivers coach. Because when he keeps talking about mental errors, that's a reflection of Vrabel coaching those guys. But at the same time, you know, look at where Christian Watson has been in these last two games. I mean, he's made physical mistakes. I don't know how many mental mistakes he's made, but he has certainly made big plays for them. So, I don't think you want to become the coach who fires people willy-nilly. They have obviously changed their defensive coordinator. They've changed their special teams coordinator. They've changed a few other staff positions during the last three-plus years. So I do think LaFleur has to be a little careful of gassing people and getting a reputation that you don't want to coach there because you're on a short leash. At the same time, if I do think they need more veteran coaches. I am a big proponent of youth and exuberance on your coaching staff. I'm not saying you need a bunch of Tom Clemences who are pushing age 70, but I do think there is something to be said for experience. Guys like, you know, James Campen, those types of coaches who've been around a long time and really know how to get guys ready.
He's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on ESPN Milwaukee. Thanks, Jason. Have a great holiday.
Jen, I just want to state for the record that I would never drop your noodle dish in the trash in front of you. I would secretly throw it away far away from
you,
not to hurt your feelings.
That's what decent human beings do, Jason. Gabe?
Either you're getting better or you're getting worse, Jen. Apparently you're okay with getting worse. Black Friday gift card special going on right now at X Golf and all three X Golf locations. But you have to do it online, and you have to do it Friday only. From 12:01 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. on Friday, you get 20% off of gift cards, max of $500, with our friends at X Golf. So if you go to xgolfbrookfield.com, xgolfmequon.com, or xgolfamfamfield.com, you can get 20% off those gift cards. It's a perfect gift to give for that golf nut in your family. What this person wants, they want to be able to play more golf. They want to have that golf game sharp, ready to go by the time the spring rolls around, and X Golf is the place to do that. You should be going there anyway, and you can get the great food. You can get the great sim time with these gift cards, and you get 20% off the gift cards, max $500 with the code XBF22. So X Golf Black Friday 22, XBF22 at xgolfmequon.com, xgolfbrookfield.com, and xgolfamfamfield.com. It's only good on Black Friday, 20% off gift cards, max of $500 with X Golf.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
People are dumb.
There's no when, water in
people
there.
Are really dumb, because I used to plow quite a bit. They're really dumb when they get around snow plows.
But enough about your college days.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Black Friday savings already here with the Ewald Automotive Group. There's no need to wait. Everything under the roof and on their lot is Black Friday priced at Ewald. That means every new and pre-owned car, truck, van, SUV, Black Friday priced. But that's not all, because it's Ewald. Of course it's not all. Every Ewald auto service, every repair, every part, everything under the roof. We said everything under the roof. And everything on their lot is Black Friday priced. It all starts for you by going to ewaldauto.com for those Black Friday savings.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something. Ooty-la-dee-do, thank you all for...
College football playoff rankings were announced last night, and the latest is as follows. Georgia number one, Ohio State number two, Michigan number three, and TCU number four. Those are the four remaining undefeated teams in the top 10, in the top, well, it looks like 25 if you go down the list. Do you like it, Chew? You happy about Michigan and Ohio State being in the top four to set up the game this weekend in Columbus?
For now, I think USC's getting the shaft a little bit.
Their strength of schedule is actually
because
really
you said
impressive.
What is it 80 something percent that there could be two teams?
Yeah,
in,
according to ESPN FPI, between Michigan and Ohio State, the loser has, at worst, an 88% chance to still make the college football playoff.
Which is crazy. I mean, because there's a chance they could get blown out. I was surprised that the line is 7.5. I thought it'd be more 5-ish. Do I want to see them both in there? I don't care right now. I just want to see Ohio. I think Ohio State's better than Michigan. The way it is right now, I want to see Ohio State play Georgia in the national championship game. So however that plays out, that's how I want it to happen.
Gabe, you liked LSU and USC at 5 and 6?
Yeah, I mean, LSU, I think, still has a chance to get in, even though the two losses. If you win the SEC, I think you're in, unless you're like something wonky happens. You're a 4-loss or 3-loss champ. I think LSU with a win, they would get in. You'd have a two SEC teams. USC's only loss is by a point. So I think they've got a really good chance of one of those teams,
lose to,
Utah.
USC's kind of getting the shaft a little bit. Is it just because strength of schedule, because the Pac-12's not great?
Yeah, and their best win would be this win they just got over UCLA.
Yeah.
And they've got a game against Notre Dame coming up this weekend.
Well, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. And then they've got the Pac-12 championship game. So they've
Notre
got
Dame
two hurdles
ranked
to clear.
15th, just so you know.
What happens if, who's playing Georgia in the SEC championship?
LSU.
What happens if LSU beats Georgia?
Then both are in.
Both are in?
For sure. Georgia's been the most dominant team all season long.
Yeah, no, I agree. Huh.
They swept their division, by the way. And yeah. I know they're 11-0, so you're like, yeah, they swept everyone they played. But again,
they swept their
when
schedule,
you think
Jen.
About the toughest division in college football across the board, what do you think of?
Oh, SEC, hands down.
The SEC West, I think, is a little bit tougher
than
the East.
Are you in on Michigan?
No.
I'm not either. I'm in on Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'm not in on TCU either.
It's just unfortunate because Tennessee was such a juggernaut all season long, and to have the one clunker game last week to lose Hendon Hooker, I mean, you knew it was the end of their run, but it was pretty magical to watch. And that's why I got to tell you guys, I'm all in on TCU. I love a Cinderella story. I love an underdog story. I love that they have, as I said, shown resiliency in their games, been able to come back down, had these deficits, and been able to come back and win.
Sure, but... I want good semifinal games, and TCU versus Georgia, guess what that is? What else is on TV? Yeah.
Are you staying for the game, or are you out like Trout?
Haven't booked my flight yet. Haven't decided. Game's at noon, so I could stay and enjoy the atmosphere. I haven't decided yet, though. Coming down to the wire here, should probably get on that, huh? Go ahead and book that travel.
Kind of waiting to see how tomorrow goes, if you actually want to come back and see your family on Saturday.
That is a very good point that you made, and I didn't, so it's better that way, actually. I would tell you how our polls went today, but I don't have internet access, which is super cool. So, Ashy, what's the scoop? How did everything go today on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter polls?
Well, we had a lot of different polls today. We're going to start backwards. Would you be willing to honestly tell someone if their food is bad when you attend a meal hosted by them? Not quite 100 votes yet. 84% of people saying no, they would not.
Thank you. That is the decent that human thing to do.
You've
got to be more honest with each other.
Yeah, it just means you're sad. Do you, like Aaron Rodgers, judge everything when you go to someone else's home for Thanksgiving? 60% of people saying no. 60% of people are lying.
No, I think, again, the spirit of the holiday is to not be judgmental, to appreciate what you have. I see the good in things, not the bad in things.
I understand what the intent of the holiday is, Jen. We're talking about the holiday in practice and what it actually looks like. Much like with Aaron Rodgers, there's the offense that's on paper and the offense the way he runs
it. Why do all houses smell different? Every house you go into, there's a different smell.
What?
The people, the animals.
But am I right or wrong?
You're not wrong, but like...
The cleaning products, the candles, the... Like,
you and I don't
smell.
On and on about
all the things that contribute to the smells in houses.
Yeah, like, that's just the way it works, man. Like, different people smell differently.
Different neighborhoods smell differently. Do you have a wood-burning fireplace? Maybe there's a little bit of an earthy... Right? I mean, it's all the things.
Go up to Kimberly. It smells up there because of the paper plant.
Oh, does it really?
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, reeks. Yeah. It's a bad reek. There's good reeks, but bad. That's a bad reek.
I put that on the poll. Is there such thing as a good reek?
I assume reek was negative.
Reek's negative.
I don't think so.
Reeks. No. It's something negative. Reeks, it's bad.
Anyways. Did you know?
You're going to miss us.
Did you know that the first Thanksgiving included...
We got a long holiday week. Like, we don't have a show until next Monday.
Go ahead, Ashy.
Did you know that the first Thanksgivings included lobster and other seafood?
And another thing.
67% of people saying no. And on Get Up This Week, Dominic Foxworth was crazy and said he thinks the Packers have the best NFC North roster in 2023. Do you agree with him? 72% of people saying no.
Does the 67% make me even smarter?
I think
sure.
It does.
67% of people
said they didn't know that lobster was first.
That is a win for you, big guy. Actually, I'd go ahead and take that one.
I'm not coming in tomorrow now.
Take Friday off.
You know what?
Thank you.
In solidarity, neither will we. This has been Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will D and Towser's next on ESPN Milwaukee.